The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is former WWE superstar Al Snow and also a magician to the blind. You're listening to The Shining Wizards.
Yeah, and I love the big package.
Who's worse, Cornette or Russo?
Russo.
That's a different discussion.
Just talk. We're talking about Dark Side.
Who's worse?
Me
or the guy who forgot to hit the record button on the episode?
We just talked about how you were growing up and how you were just killing it doing this, and you forgot to hit record.
Well, if you were listening live on the rant, then you heard the first 10 minutes. If you weren't, tough shit. Buster's here, Kate's here, Anthony's here, Danny's here. They're my henchmen. Kevin and Tony are jealous. We're talking AEW Dynamite. Kate watched the wrestling classic. Anthony's doing well. Stay the fuck home. This is serious. Don't get other people sick. Danny's doing good. He's watching SummerSlams. He's watching Survivor Series. He's watching everything 2009, 2010. I fucking am watching WrestleManias. I'm not shitting my pants. Wink, wink. We're all doing good. I just, in a nutshell, I just summed it all up. I spend way too much money on wrestling figures, and my wife doesn't know because she doesn't listen to the podcast. So I think I caught us all up, right?
You're good. That's perfect.
Pretty much nailed it. Yeah. And then you hit the record button.
I can't fucking believe I did that. We probably talked for 10 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing a good job. And I'm like, hey, those numbers aren't moving behind the Skype pictures. Oh, and you guys just said I was so good at this. Jesus Christ.
I know. We put you over, and then you buried yourself. Matt screwed Matt.
Very true.
God damn it. All right, so where do we want to start? AEW Dynamite, April 8th, 2020. We had Cody Spears. We had... Britt and Hikuto, Shakuta Ruda, whatever nuts his name
Sheeta?
Is.
Sheeta.
There you go. We had the Lance Archer squashed. We had the Brody Lee squashed. We had a really weird, weird tag match, which we can get into. And a bunch of promos and vignettes. Kate, since you did not like last week's episode, I'm going to let you start. The floor is yours. Where do you want to start, Kate?
Okay, well, to clarify, I didn't like that I sounded like a fangirl. Basically, Matt is mimicking me, and that's exactly what I felt like I sounded like. I felt like I sounded too much like an AEW mark, because I didn't really have any legitimate criticism. So I was like, today, I'm going to watch it with more of a fine-tooth comb, and I'm going to come out with valid criticisms. And then as soon as the episode started, I was just like, I love this show. But I did feel like there was a lot to... there was a little bit more to kind of dig into. The first thing I'll say is just like Chris Jericho on commentary. I mean, come on. Like every match, I felt like he did such an incredible job. And like he just made me laugh. He made people buy into the matches so well and just had me like laughing out loud. When he was calling Tony Schiavone Skivone, I just love that stuff. And it's just, it is crazy because I don't know how successful this company would be without someone like him there. Like, I'm not saying that Cody and the Young Bucks couldn't have done it without him, but man, oh man, does he sure make it a sure bet in like every capacity. So that was really fun. The women's match I liked because I thought it was a little bit different than what we've seen. And I think Britt Baker can really tell a story. There were definitely some botchy spots. She got split open. But I felt like that improved from what we've seen, so I liked that. The tag match for me was, that's kind of like my, I guess, my higher point. The tag match for me, I don't want to call it a low point, but I just, it was so chaotic. I didn't really know what was going on the whole time. But yeah, I thought it was a strong episode. I didn't love all of the video packages, though we saw them try out a new style today. But those were kind of like my highs and lows of the episode. What were your guys' highs and lows of the episode? And my dog is squeaking in the background. I'm sorry.
So I love that they opened the show with Jake the Snake. I think he's such a valuable piece for Lance Archer. Not that Lance Archer can talk, but having the best talker or one of the best talkers in history there for you is definitely helpful, and it definitely connects a different audience to the show. He's a recognizable name, a recognizable face, and this whole thing with Cody being Caesar and them coming, you know, to change the game and like dethrone him and everything is awesome. I love that that match was against Brandon Cutler. Not that I didn't love the Marco Stunt stuff, because visually it looked amazing and it really made Lance look like a monster. But this week against a normal size guy, to continue with that, I think was really smart. As far as the video packages go for me, I like that they made it feel like, I don't know if anyone else has seen the HBO 24/7s. They do for boxing matches like Canelo Alvarez versus Triple G or any of the Floyd Mayweather things. Even with the commentation or narration behind it, I actually like that a lot. For me, low points, that tag match was not great. It was a little like chaotic, and it felt a little disjointed to me. I don't love Nakazawa. I think he's fun, but the match just felt disconnected to me for a bit. And I don't think this was Matt Hardy's best video package or promo. I love the idea of an Elite Deletion match with him and Jericho, but just not to me his best promo work that we've seen him do, whether it be in, you know, Impact or WWE or even here since he's been in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I generally liked what we saw tonight. I'll agree with, first of all, I think it was cool that they actually cold opened with Jake the Snake. It was something different. He just walked in, sat down, and launched into it. And I thought it was awesome because it's furthering that Cody kind of, you know, on a collision course with Lance. At some point, they have to meet. So I liked that a lot. Jericho on commentary was great. He's great as a heel commentator. And even when he's being heelish, he's really knowledgeable about what he's talking about, and he adds a lot of fun stuff. So I thought that was fantastic. Lance squash match, it was exactly what it needed to be. He looked super strong again. And I remember, I think I said last week, that finishing move's cool, but I wonder how it's going to look with somebody bigger than Marco. It looked just as fucking good tonight. So I'm sold, and he's awesome. So that's great. The Shida match, yeah, I guess it was better than what we've seen. But, man, I think Shida's going to hurt somebody at some point. She just fucking, she's reckless sometimes. And I don't like Britt Baker whatsoever. I don't understand how she's the face of the women's division. I don't think she's a good wrestler. Maybe I'm the odd man out, but I fucking hate Britt Baker. I'm passing. That match was fine, I guess. As far as the video packages go, I agree with Danny. It's very much 24/7 style. And that's how they did their last build to Revolution. Right after Dynamite, they showed a one-hour show just like that. And it's perfect because you have to give something to people who don't watch this every week, who are tuning in, something to look forward to. So they're building these matches to be something that's large, and they don't have a live environment to build with fans there. So you have to do this in video package form. And I think it's cool because they're now giving it a, you know, Hager's doing it for the pay, Mox is doing it for the passion and the fans. Like, it's giving you a clear look at why each guy is really involved with this. I think it's smart, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. The Cody Spears package, I felt the same thing. They were building the match that was tonight because people probably are tuning in who don't watch this weekly, who are now looking for some sort of live TV or something new that's sports oriented. So it's smart to me. And even for the people who do watch it, it gives you a background look into their feud. So I kind of liked all that stuff. Tag match, I agree. A little long, a little weird, but I thought out of that match, it was a great showing for the best friends. They really showed up and they went the distance and they got a win that they needed. So beyond that, Brody squash, you know, it was what it was. He needs to keep looking strong. I don't know about you guys, but that stuff with Marco, I think they're setting up Brody and Luchasaurus down the line, which I think people want to see two giants fight each other like that. So I'm for it. And then the Matt Hardy promo, my favorite things from that was Le Hole of Ass stayed with it. That was perfect. Vanguard 1 dumpster fire lighting the Inner Circle shirt was great. And then, so that was okay, but I agree, not his best. And then the Spears match was good. I will say this, though. It was really weird. Like, for the biggest thing for me that was a distraction was they talk every week about how Aubrey is the best referee in that business. And tonight, that and the tag match, she was completely out of control, completely lax with the rules. It was a little weird for me. But I don't know. I basically just ran through everything. But, you know, that's, I thought it was a good show. I just thought there were little weird things like that that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page with Jake at the beginning. I like how Jake says we. He doesn't say Archer. He doesn't say me. He says we. And it's, I think I said it the last 2 weeks, and I've said it on the Shining Wizards every Monday night on rantiumradio.com. It is unbelievable that it's taken this long for any promotion to reach out to Jake Roberts. Like, I know he's been clean for a couple years now. They did the resurrection of Jake the Snake, the whole thing with DDP, went into the Hall of Fame. That's like 4 years ago now. Right? Something like that. It's been a while. So it's crazy that that they plucked him and they're using him, which I think is brilliant. I liked the women's match a lot, and I hate the women. So I thought Britt Baker and Sheeta did a great job. I think Sheeta's like reckless abandonment is what she needs when you see the path that they're setting her on to go against Nyla Rose, the Beast, who is the AEW Women's Champion. That might be the story they're trying to tell, or she might just be a fucking psychopath. She's one of those Japanese women wrestlers, and those chicks are fucking fearless, man. The Rios and the Yukazukis or whatever they were talking about during the match. She broke all her teeth, Britt Baker did. Like, you watch those, like, those fucking Yoshi women's wrestling matches. Like, those chicks beat the shit out of each other. If you really want to be uncomfortable, watch the video of Minoru Suzuki beating the shit out of Asuka. Like, he legit beat the shit out of her when she was, like, a young girl in some, like, Japanese independent show. The blood from Britt Baker, I know it's not something she did on purpose, but man, it fit. That promo she cut like later in the show where she's got the dried blood all over her face and she's got the little bit coming out of her nose was fucking awesome. I kind of forgot that she lost the match. You know, I was still like, this bitch has got some balls on her to be fucking running her gums after she just lost. What else was there? Archer looked great, and he squashed that fucking kid, which was perfect. He's on a collision course with Colt. Jericho on commentary is what every wrestling fan who grew up in the 80s and the 90s with the Bobby Heenans and the Jesse the Body Ventura, everything. Pete, the Pineapple Pete, is fucking Sugar Dunk. I'll cut that bitch with a fork.
I also enjoyed during the Nakazawa Omega tag match when Nakazawa did the underwear gimmick with his arm. I forgot what they were calling it. Jericho, when he sticks it in, I don't remember if it was Chucky or whoever, he sticks it in his face and Jericho yells, "He's gonna puke."
I also appreciate that he goes, if someone did that to me, I just would have submitted. Like, there's something just so, like, beautiful aware about that. I'm just like, I wouldn't have cared about winning the match. Like, that was such, like, a fun little heel sneak in there.
He's just...
But, yeah.
Like, everything, like... When they grabbed Britt Baker, he was like, if some idiot touched me, I'd knock them out. Like, just brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant on commentary. He literally does it all. He can do it all.
Chris Jericho. He's the best in the world at what he does.
To Danny's point, those vignettes with Moxley and Hager, it's 24/7, it's HBO Boxing. It gives you a real fight feel. You know, it doesn't seem like a wrestling match. This is going to be a real fight.
To clarify, too, I liked, I love the style of it, and they did a little bit more making it feel like fighting today in general is something to note, too, that they put up, like, kind of fight cards, and they explained everybody's records and where everybody stands. We saw a little bit more of that, like, feels more like a UFC fight kind of thing. My only complaint with it was I just felt like, and I'm just not in on Jake Hager, I said it last week and the week before, but, like, I just feel like there's nothing to say about him. I thought Moxley sold me on the match, but I'm not sold on him. Like, I don't, like, okay, cool, you're a crossover. Like, you did Bellator and this. Like, there's just nothing there for me to latch onto. But I did love the more, like, docu-style being woven in and out of it. I thought that piece of it was very cool. There's just nothing for me to sink my teeth into on Jake Hager yet.
I think go ahead, Danny.
I'm with Kate on that. Like, I'm not a Jake Hager fan. I think he's boring. Somehow, I think he got more boring when he started talking in AEW. But I said it last week. As a first, like, feud for Mox, it makes sense. He's a big, big guy with an MMA background. It's being built as a fight more than a match of any kind. I'm excited that it's an empty arena thing, but he is like a boring guy and boring character. When he was staying silent behind Jericho, I actually really enjoyed that. They did the one vignette for one of Jericho's matches where they cut to him and he just looked at the camera and didn't talk, and that gave him more character to me than when, you know, they actually had him talking. But to build it and make it seem like a real fight for people, you do need him having to talk and stuff, and... I think it is a smart first opponent for Mox to go up against. Someone credible.
Yeah, it's like I said on our text chain. I'm like, he didn't talk for 4 months, and then he opens his mouth and he has nothing to really say. Like, I don't get it with him, but I do. The booking of it definitely makes sense, for sure.
Mic on. There we go. I've been doing this for 8 years. I like how they make
it. Are we recording?
We are recording. The clickers. Tony already texted me a bunch of disparaging remarks and comments.
Your henchmen. Don't talk to him like that, Tony. Yes. Okay.
I like how Hager. There's still that they talk about the purse, the money. Like, we're not just doing this to do it. Hager wants to do it because he becomes the champion and he gets paid more. And I think Hager should use his wife as his mouthpiece. Since Hager kind of sucks at talking and he has like a little bit of a lisp. But what more would you hate than his big titted blonded wife going out there and running her gums? My husband's a winner. He's going to come home with a championship. We only allow winners in this house. That's just a fucking heat magnet. You saw it at, what the fuck was the Revolution when he's just making out with her for no reason. Like, she's the perfect foil. I think he is, as Danny said, the perfect first opponent for Moxley. It's a guy, he's got a reputation. People, if you don't know who he is and you watch wrestling and you put on TNT and fucking UCG, you're like, oh, what's Jack Swagger doing? You know, it's kind of like that weird Impact thing, although Impact was on like a TV channel that nobody could watch. But if you see somebody that you're familiar with, you're more likely to watch. So I'm okay with Hager. I'm excited for that next week, the empty arena match. What else? The tag match. I get the comedy is a spot in wrestling. It serves its purpose. It was all over the fucking place for me. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Michael Nakazawa with the baby oil. He used to tag with Kenny Omega, so they kind of have like a backstory there. But like,
yeah, why? And why do you go to chop someone? This was, I was actually thinking of Matt during this, because he puts baby oil on him and then he immediately gets chopped. I'm like, why would you go chop someone that has put baby oil on their chest? That's stupid. It made me feel like when we were watching Rumble and you're like, why would you go to the top ropes in a Rumble match? I like, had that same like visceral reaction where I'm just like, the last thing you would do if someone put baby oil on their chest is go then chop them. I get that they had to show why he was doing that kind of, but I'm like, it made no sense to me. And a lot of this match didn't make sense to me. There was some cool stuff in there from Best Friends, and certainly Kenny Omega didn't need a win out of that, but and Orange Cassidy is obviously a national treasure in everything he does. But yeah, that match just didn't, that was kind of the standout for me. It just didn't like work for me. It didn't make sense to me.
It felt really sloppy.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is too that we've you know, we've kind of been conditioned now that they're the champs, like Omega and Hangman are the champs. And I don't know if Hangman is just quarantined at home for some reason. I've seen a lot of stuff from him where he's like filming stuff in his home or whatever. He had his PSA and all that stuff. So maybe he's stuck at home because he hasn't been on TV. But regardless, I think now it's like, well, they're the champs. Why aren't they together? I think we all have to keep in mind, too, that they're stalling some of their storylines because they're not going to waste some of this stuff on weekly TV without a crowd reaction. So I think that anything that they had planned with them where there was some kind of heat between them is stopped. So I think that's really the reason why we're not seeing them together, or they're even talking about Hangman and the problems that they've been having together. So, like, I'm okay not having them together. I do agree the match was a little weird. There was some good stuff in there. But like I said, my takeaway from the whole thing was, hey, the Best Friends got a win. Like, and they haven't had a win in a while. And they went a good distance showing that they could do it, you know, when they were with Kenny. And, you know, Nakazawa took the pin. So nobody really got hurt. And I think this might have helped the Best Friends look like a legitimate tag team, because I really don't feel like they've had a lot of wins lately, although I wasn't paying attention to the power rankings.
excuse me. My man stuck his face in two people's crotch, and then he took his underwear off. And I was like, this is a lot right now, Mr. Nakazawa. This is weird. And I like how Jericho was like, nice fucking t-shirt, douchebag. That's real good promotion of yourself. It was just a weird match, man. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I love a good comedy wrestling gimmick. But, man, it was like, when they went to that first commercial break, I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
And then maybe, things that happened in Japan don't always translate here and vice versa. I've heard several wrestlers talk about the difference in comedic styles hitting in one audience versus another, and he's also coming into this empty arena. Like, there might have just been an overall disconnect, but, just felt off.
Yeah, that kind of thing, too. Like, that kind of comedy, at least, with no audience, doesn't help it at all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they were necessarily... I mean, do you guys think they were necessarily, when they put this together and they booked it, said, I got an idea, let's give them a comedy thing. I think they're just trying to give us different stuff that's not the same thing week over week. And I think having these guys with a background that work together, like, it made sense to put them together. And maybe that's just the way they did it. Like, you know, cause they ultimately have a say in what's going to happen. But I mean, you know, I don't think they went into it thinking, hey, comedy, we're going to do it. And then we got comedy. I don't know what you guys think.
I think they're just, this is the hand they were dealt. We all speculated last week that we thought they were in Tennessee, and I think one of you guys said maybe Georgia, and it came out that they were in Georgia at QT Marshall's wrestling school, and that they had taped a couple days in a row, and then they also finally got shut down. So it's kind of like, these are the guys we have. Like, I know that Lee Johnson kid was on AEW Dark. I think the kid that Lance Archer beat was on Dark. I know Sugar Dunkerton was on Dark, and he was in the crowd. That Annie J, who was on last week, she did Dark, I think. You're going to see a lot of the same people, and I think they're just kind of making it work. And to your point, Ann, I think it was, maybe that was the idea. Like, let's just give them something where they could laugh and enjoy it. And you still got to see when Kenny Omega was in the ring, like him and Trent and him and Chucky went, and Nakazawa can work, but he works that comedy style. He has his fucking oil, put his face in a bunch of people's crotches, and they all had weird nicknames for all their moves, which whatever, I guess, if that's what you're into. The promo, you know, the promo before where they went in the trailer and Michael Nakazawa wanted them to become the best friends, and he was like, come on, Kenny, you're the EVP, make it happen. And then fucking Orange Cassidy just walks out of the bathroom. I mean, come on, that was funny shit.
It was good.
Fuck, what else did we saw? We saw a Brody Lee vignette where he continues to be very much like a lot of people think of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're really hammering this week. It felt like to me, too. They're really hammering the Mr. Brody thing, which I really liked. And that felt like and Jericho was definitely pushing that, like, before he was going by Mr. Brody. But now it feels like very much like that's your name because that's what we call you because of respect. Like, he just, we've said it a couple times, he looks like a million bucks. Like, he looks so, he looks like he had a couple of months off that he really needed.
He's a stud. It's a steal. Look, you could, you know, it's easy to fall into these weird traps, like with all these AEW fans and WWE fans, and it's like, oh, they're all ex-WWE guys. Like, none of that matters. It matters with what happens with the current situation they were in. Vader was a WCW guy, and when he went to WWF, it took one match with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels killed his fucking push. This is Vader.
Oh, completely.
The man they call Vader, IWGP heavyweight champion, WCW world champion, and he had one bad match with fucking Shawn Michaels where he screamed at him in the middle of the ring at SummerSlam, and his push was fucking gone. And you're not going to tell me, oh, well, Vader's not a great worker. He was the fucking best big man in the business. It doesn't matter where they are. It's what they get to do. You know, like Brody was on Jericho's podcast, and there was, what'd they say, something where Triple H said, if you sign here, I'll work on you being able to work New Japan. And Brody was like, sounds too good to be true. Like, yeah. That's like, because it wouldn't work. You can't use him as fucking Luke Harper in the WWE, where he's essentially a fucking job guy. And then send him over to Japan and expect him, you know, maybe in the 90s it worked because people were fucking tape trading. And by the time you got that tape, it was 6 months later. Now, when it's fucking streaming, it's not going to make any sense to people. But now he's here in AEW, and he's got this fucking gimmick, and he's in a feud with SCU, and you know, the weird Marco stunt thing tonight. Like, what's that going to lead to? Like, it doesn't matter where they were. It's the way they're being used, in my opinion.
And I would say that's an AEW strength, too. Like, when you see Moxley versus Pac, it doesn't feel like Neville versus Dean Ambrose at all to me. Like, I feel like they've done a really good job of really quickly erasing everyone's backstories and rewriting them or reinventing them in a way that the wrestler wanted to do, how the wrestler intended versus a creative department intended, I guess. Because I don't know if Moxley's like that different from a lunatic fringe, but it's different enough and it feels like a completely different guy that I'm watching. So I think that's something they've done extremely well, is I don't feel, and I think that's something that is a difference between them and when you saw TNA on the same channel, was like, I feel like it doesn't feel like Diet WWE at all. It feels like something completely different. So I agree with you. I think that's been a strength of theirs out of the gate. And I think that comes from the attitude that everybody's taking toward the thing, where it's the wrestlers are kind of the ones in control, it sounds like.
And then we moved on to Brody Lee squash match. We saw a bunch of vignettes. The Matt Hardy thing was not his best work. I do like the prospect of him and Jericho having a elite deletion match. But yeah, he kind of went more like a comedy stylings, which isn't really a Matt Hardy specialty.
He felt like he was going more for like almost like punchlines and jokes, which normally isn't when he goes for comedy stuff. I feel like how he does it. Like, I feel like when he's at his best and like when he wants to bring humor to it, it's just by being over the top with how he talks and, you know, something like hole of the ass or like that. Whereas it felt like he was trying to tell, you know, straight up jokes about the inner circle, which don't know. It just felt a little disconnected to me and didn't, to me, seem like his best work.
I think what happened was Jericho cut a hysterical promo last week, and he tried to respond to that promo rather than staying in, like, what he does best a little bit. Like, it felt like he was kind of meeting Jericho in his world instead of staying in his own. But I also think this is, like, seeing what, like, when you try and tape 8 weeks of content, or, yeah, in what, a week and 48 hours? Like, I think maybe we're going to get a little bit of more of this where, like, everything is still pretty good, but maybe not top dollar because they're shoehorning things in, or the production's different, or everybody's out of their element. So I think it might have had to do with that a little bit too. But that's how I felt. Like, actually, I popped at the dumpster fire thing. I thought that was very funny, but it did feel to me like he was getting in Jericho's
I don't know what you said there last, kid. I think you got cut off. What was your last line you said?
Oh, I said that I popped for the dumpster fire thing, but it did feel kind of what I was saying before, like he was in Jericho's world instead of his own a little bit.
I wonder if agree. Go ahead.
To me, God damn, even with the cameras. I was just gonna say, I agree. I feel like it was kind of set up to be a direct response back to Jericho the way Jericho did it. But I want to, Mike, I have a comment actually overall about all the video packages. I honestly feel like even though there was a lot of video pre-tape packages tonight, we still got, I have by count, 6 matches, even though 2 of them were squashes. We still got 6 wrestling matches. So I feel like they've honestly done a pretty good job balancing this kind of unprecedented time with, balancing live, live quote-unquote matches and pre-taped stuff. I think they've done a pretty good job with that. I do agree. I think we're going to see some weird mixed match stuff over the next few weeks, but this is what we have to deal with, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it so far. So I'm okay with it. I like their pre-produced video packages. I actually think they're all pretty well done.
I wonder if the Elite deletion stuff is something they were planning for later down the line, but now that we're in this situation, if that's something that Jericho can just go to Hardy's and then they film it and that's like a whole episode, I wonder if, maybe they're using that now to fill more space in a couple weeks or next month, because that's something they can pre-record, produce, cut together, and everything.
I had the same thought, because I thought maybe, I was like, oh, that feels like something that might have gone after Blood and Guts. Like, we might have gotten this rivalry that would come from Blood and Guts and then do, like, the Elite deletion down the line a little bit, but maybe they're bumping that up for like you were saying, that you can just satisfy so much with production control, and it's, you don't need a bunch of people in one location for it. So, I'm with you on that. I have the same thought.
It'll be fun to see them mix and match. You see, you obviously know the 8 guys that are in the TNT tournament, and that's all taped up until the finals. So you know they're there. You know the best friends are there. You know Kenny's there. Brody Lee is there. You know there's a couple of, they could throw a couple masks on some Dark Order guys. Marco's there. Jericho was there. If he did commentary, he was there for the tapings, you would assume. Or did they pre-tape that?
I mean, I know that from what I saw, and I don't remember if it was on a sheet or if it was actually kind of from Jericho or somebody else, but apparently they said this is going to be the announcing team we get from here on out, I guess because Jericho was just there for the whole taping. So if that's what they do, that's fine, because I think he's probably the best guy. I mean, Colt apparently was there at some point. Maybe he had to leave. Who knows? But I'm okay with if Jericho doesn't wrestle and he keeps playing this from an announce desk. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I just know that if they do accelerate this Elite deletion thing, I look forward to one thing. Production value. Yes, I look forward to that. Fuck the wrestling. Production value.
How dare you? How dare you put production over wrestling? I cannot cannot die on this hill, Anthony. I did it last week. I will die on this hill again this week. I'm sorry. I cannot go after Kate like I did last week and not go after you, sir.
This is... What do you mean?
You can... You're not supposed to be watching.
So, this makes me sad that you... Like, we can see Matt, but nobody else can see Matt makes me sad because he does look like he's on the verge of having a stroke of us talking about that we appreciate production value.
No. I have complete sarcasm. Like, I honestly don't. I don't give a fuck about the production value. Just tell the story. Like, you don't need to shoot it like a movie if you're going to tell a good story and the wrestling is going to be good. Like, it doesn't need to be shot like a fucking film.
Seems to be the direction the business is going, my friend.
Well, for right now, that also, I think, just makes sense. Because if you're doing something like that, I think you just don't need as much of a traditional crew. Like, if you are filming something cinematically, you don't have to worry about anybody at ringside. It's just the two guys or ladies, the ref, and your camera crew. So I think you might be seeing that in the interim, too, just as a patchwork until we get back to filming in front of a live audience. It just makes, and for something like a Hardy compound thing, I think that's okay to splice that in there. That could be really fun.
It all depends on what wrestler it is. Like for something like The Undertaker, like it makes sense. For someone like Matt Hardy, it makes sense. Like Cody Rhodes doesn't need a pre-taped match, yes. Like a cinematic match. I think it all depends on, you know, what character you're working with, and going off, okay, to that, you know, given the circumstances we're in, if that's the way you can get more stuff for shows out and get out more content, it might just be part of what has to be done. I personally, given, like, depending on what the match is and the build is and the characters, and fine with it as something different. I don't want that to be all of my wrestling, though. I don't want every match I watch to look like that, because that's not what I like about wrestling.
It can't, I think, but if you're going to, like, the Murder Hawk Mansion, if that was such a cool vignette, like, it wouldn't annoy me if they held a match at the Murder Hawk Mansion or something in that regard. But, yeah, it needs to be done sparingly and tastefully, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Can we talk about Cody and Sean Spears? We all talked prior to me hitting the record button like an idiot that we've been watching a lot of wrestling. And I say there's a good amount of wrestling watching in that's done in this group. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody get pinned by the figure four, which I thought
I can't
was
said the same thing.
Jericho even said it. That he can't recall anyone ever getting pinned by it.
It's a super unique finish. It's going to have to sit with me. I know the show ended about an hour ago. I don't really know how I feel about that. So he was doing this weird thing with his hands where it was kind of like one of those things where, like, if you watch Dark Side of the Ring, when someone got knocked out, like a UFC fight, they go like, and their fucking hands are, like, shaking, but the lights are on, but nobody's home. Like, it was just fucking weird. It's a very weird thing. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, the thing, too, is that he was, like, it's not like he was in so much pain that he wasn't thinking about or, like, unconscious. He was all there, wide awake. You heard the ref counting, like, do something. You just sat there.
Yeah.
Very rare that something happens in wrestling that I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. So, like,
yeah, I just
get it from that standpoint of, like, man, I've never actually seen it before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. If it was like, well, we'll have Spears still look kind of strong because he didn't tap, but, you know, he got pinned. But if that's what you're going to do, then maybe make him pass out, because you can't have him, like, I agree with Matt. I was like, what is he doing with his hands? Like, I just didn't understand that. I had no problem with him being pinned in that position, but your hands are up, you're moving, you're grunting, like, you're there. Just lift your shoulder up. It just made no sense. I didn't understand that, but I said it as soon as it happened. I turned around to Gina on the couch, and I was just like, I've never seen that in my life. I don't really know if I like it, but, like, it just, I don't know. They were also, maybe I just haven't seen too many old Dusty matches. Was the figure four truly was one of Dusty's finishers at one point?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if most people who are watching wrestling now who haven't gone back to the past would really know that. So it just seemed weird that they were really harping on that, because I think most people who are going back a couple generations in wrestling, or who are new to wrestling and maybe just know a little bit about history, would know that that move's really connected to Ric Flair, not so much Dusty. So I don't know. It seemed just kind of like a weird choice. Again, I don't know if I liked it or I didn't like it, but it was an interesting choice.
Yeah,
Well, when was the last time that even happened to you, though? Like that. See, I like it for the soul count that we have a bunch of intelligent wrestling fans. You're talking about the fact that they like it, or they don't know if they like it or they don't. Like, that's really cool to me. And I think Jericho did shoehorn in that it was Dusty's finisher at one point, right? And he said, like, made famous by Ric Flair. But okay, good. I was going to say, because I don't think I knew that until Jericho said it. So I just wanted to make sure I was right on that.
No, you'd have to go back to, like, Dusty and like Dick Murdoch as a tag team, like way fucking back to that like shitty like 70s wrestling that I can't even sit through, like I can't even fucking watch.
Well, we're in quarantine, baby. If there was ever a time, let's go. I'm going back to watch.
If you wanna go nuts, but that like wrestling from like this, I'm telling you, until the Rock and wrestling, I'm sure there was a couple gems in the 80s, like the early 80s. But until, like, the Hulkster was on the scene, man, everything before that I just find, like, to be incredibly fucking boring. You know what else I find to be incredibly fucking irritating? Brandi Rhodes. How many fucking times is she going to get involved in a Cody Rhodes match? It's fucking nauseating. She should have got put through a table. She's going to be his downfall. And I get it. They're not going to play it up, but they should, because she's a fucking thorn in his side. She's a distraction. Arn's a distraction. Cody doesn't need a fucking team nightmare. Whatever weird shit he's into, he needs to knock it off and just wrestle by himself.
It's a collective, sir.
Don't point. It's rude.
It's the nightmare family.
You shut your goddamn mouth and don't say anything bad about Brandi Rhodes. She's a fucking saint, and she can do no wrong.
Just because you want to see her nappy dugout doesn't make her a saint, okay?
Whoa, yeah, whoa, Jesus whoa, Christ. Whoa.
Mr. Matt.
She gets involved in every match, and she doesn't need to. I get it. He was trying to take off the turnbuckle. But fuck off, lady. You don't belong there. What happens if she gets put through the fucking table, and then there's outrage? Oh, and then he fucking is distracted, and then he loses, and he doesn't go on to the next round. He got distracted in his match with MJF because fucking Arn Anderson was there, and fucking MJF was there, or Brandi was there. And that's why you lost, you fucking idiot. And guess what? You're probably going to get to the finals against Lance Archer, and you get distracted by your dumb fucking wife, and you're going to lose. So go fuck your hand, Cody.
Darby Allen's going to cost him that match. Book it. Darby Allin.
Yeah.
I think if Matt was in a match, Rhee would come and help you take off the top.
You're fucking out of your mind. You do not know my wife at all.
There was a split second. I was like, holy fuck, she's going through this table. Like, There was a minute there where I like, they're going to put her through the table. It looked like it was going to happen. If that happened, I would have been like up and applauding in my living room. It would have been kind of cool. But no, man, I agree. In all seriousness, like, I think they're kind of slowly maybe planting those seeds that there's a lot of distractions, and then eventually, you know, it'll kind of break apart and he'll come to the ring with by himself and stuff like that. But, you know, they're not going to do anything about it now. We're in quarantine with no audience.
I know. It just fucking pops. She's always involved. She doesn't need to be involved. Her shitty group got smushed. Fucking Dr. Luther has a t-shirt on fucking AEWshop.com. Dr. Luther, are you fucking serious right now? About one person in this chat knows who fucking Dr. Luther was before he showed up on fucking AEW. And one person in this chat, fucking four people aren't buying his fucking t-shirt.
No, I'm buying a murder.
No, I don't even know who the men on the mission were this weekend, so.
That's frustrating, Daniel. You should know that.
What'd he say?
Well, once I was reminded, I knew. I didn't know that's what they were called.
He didn't know Men on a Mission. That's what outraged us this weekend. Oh,
I was very outraged by that. Fucking Men
but
on
then,
a Mission.
But I just didn't know. I knew Mo and Mabel, but I just didn't know they were called Men. I could not tell you one match I've ever seen them wrestle together. I remember them both entering a Royal Rumble and having the same gear on, and that's it.
I'll tell you what, Anthony's face says it all, yes. But I have to agree with Danny. If I didn't watch WrestleMania and you were like, tell me a Men on a Mission match, I would just guess at whatever tag teams were around in that era and hope I picked the right one.
Man, to be fair, not knowing Men on a Mission isn't like I can't believe you don't know who they are. Do you even watch wrestling thing? They're not like
what
the Dudleys.
Yeah.
If you watch Saturday mornings, you would know who Men on a Mission are. They had a lot of matches against jobbers, I bet.
But by the time I was watching on Saturday mornings, it was just the show with like Michael Cole in the like truck or like TV room. Do you guys remember that? It was like the weekly recap show.
Oh God, it wasn't Live Wire.
The control center.
It wasn't.
Yeah, he was from like the control center.
Was it Bite This?
No, it was...
No.
Hold on, let me do some research. I'll get back to you.
Danny's going to do some research.
He's going to lose his internet connection. See you later.
A lot of people on...
Started watching in 2009, my friends. There are things I missed out on, and Michael Cole from a control center was one of them.
Kate, now is the
time. No, this is like the 90s.
It was... Well, Todd Pettengale did Livewire. From like a
studio. If you're going to watch anything... If you're going to watch anything from a control center, it's got to be, didn't WCW do the Saturday night and wasn't portion of that from control center? Or am I mixing up shows now?
Because
I know they had Saturday night.
Saturday night was main event, and then there was, oh my God, it was on Saturday morning, and there was a Sunday night show too.
One of them was with Shiv.
Worldwide was one, and Mania. WWE
I think
Mania.
It was World.
Was another like wraparound from the control center. Danny's still.
Oh God.
Tony's chiming in. I'm getting text messages from Tony. This is Mania Worldwide. I'm sorry, that was Kevin. Kevin Garifo in the house. Shining Wizards.
Oh.
Kevin. Yeah, when I hear
that's
it, gonna
that's going to be the extra, the additional content we haven't announced yet. I don't know if Kevin knows. We're going to do the corporate shill show with corporate Kate and Kevin.
Hell yeah.
I can set it up. You guys can just suck the teat of WWE all day if you want.
What, Matt? All day.
WCW Pro. WCW Pro was also another show.
Maybe I'm thinking of Pro. I don't know. All those shows get jumbled up. Anyway, can we run this back to AEW real quick? Because I don't know how much more time you have, Matt. But what
tonight.
Do we think about? All right, well,
we downloaded Animal Crossing, so my wife and her mother are...
Oh, perfect.
A whole other world down there.
Yeah, a Switch has been requested in my house, so we're thinking about it. So what do we think about the tournament? I know we talked about it last week, but we did have it kind of on Twitter that we were going to discuss it, so we probably should, right? So what do we think is now going to shake out with this tournament after having seen the first match?
Well, before... this match took place tonight, a lot of people on social media were really thinking this was Sean Spears' match to win, which was very surprising. I really think you're going to see Cody and Darby in the next round and Lance Dustin in the other bracket. I think it just makes sense. And, you know, I really think, like, Darby gets one over on Cody.
I don't disagree. I think that I really want to see Darby win it because I think he's so over. Like, I know all the guys who are in this tournament have, you know, a pretty good following, maybe exception of Kip Sabian. But I really want to see Darby win it. I really don't want to see Lance win it right out of the gate because I think it's too much, almost too much too fast. I think they really need to build him a little bit more, but if he wins it, I wouldn't be mad. But I think it's going to be Darby Lance, and then if it gets there, I don't see how Darby wins. It's got to be Lance.
Yeah, but if it gets to Darby Lance and Cody gets involved somehow and costs Lance the match, that's just another piece of their puzzle. Because I don't think Lance needs a title.
I agree.
I don't think Cody needs a title. I get that he's trying to tell that story. It'd be nice for him to have a title because he can't win the world title now. But, man, I'm with you on Darby. Darby's a fucking superstar. And you put the title on him, and he's in it. Cody doesn't need it. Cody doesn't need it. Lance doesn't need it. And I'd much rather see, down the line, Lance go after Moxley if he's still the champion.
I was just going to say, I think this is almost... I don't think you put Jake the Snake on a second title kind of guy. Like, I think now, especially with Moxley as a face, it just makes too much sense that, like, maybe when they resume filming that Lance might be going after Moxley. Like, that makes a ton of sense to me stylistically with their history in New Japan. There's so many things there. The more I think about it, I was really thinking it might go to Sammy, but the more that I think about it with Darby, that I think there's too many stories that make sense to tell. And I just think, I mean, for someone who was like as, I think of the newer guys with maybe the exception of MJF, he is like the guy that found his footing so fast and like had the most immediate connection with the crowd. And I think it would make sense to have it on someone like him, especially with Moxley having the other title. Like, Moxley is like this very in this world, just like brutalizer kind of guy. To put it on someone that's got like this mystique and just like a very different style, I think it would be cool to have both of those two types of wrestlers holding titles at the same time. I think you have a nice mix in there for everybody who's watching if you do that. I think something cooking with Cody and Darby could be pretty cool after that as well.
I'm holding to my thought that Lance is going to absolutely murder Dustin in the second round. Like, I'm talking like no offense from Dustin. He's just going to kill him. And then I think maybe something screwy happens with Darby and Cody where Cody wins, but, you know, Darby doesn't necessarily get cheated, but he feels like he got cheated out in some way. And not that Darby will align with Lance Archer and Jake, but I think he might cost Cody the match, and then they'll heat back up Cody and Darby. And Darby will get his win against Cody and then go from there. I think they're going to make Lance a monster with this title. That's just what I think.
I think that makes total sense, but I think one reason they might hesitate on doing that is just how pure babyface Darby is right now. I think they like that. Like, the response he's getting from the crowd is so... I think, like, if he was in a different company, I feel like he would definitely be like, oh, he has the face paint thing, he's got the skateboard thing, he comes out to this music, he's a heel. Like, I think the fact that he's so face right now, I don't know if they want to mess with that and even making him a tweener. And I think you run that detriment with Cody. So that's the only reason I would see a pause on everything that you just said.
Sorry, the silence. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Welcome back, Ant.
I just don't know. I don't know. I'm all aboard with Darby. Sammy would be a nice win too, but I just don't know about that in the inner circle. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I really, really don't think Lance needs the title. I think another great question that kind of ties into this is, what do you do with these guys next? Like, once after next week, after we see Moxley and Hager in the empty arena match, where do we go with Moxley? They've taped up to whenever Double or Nothing is supposed to be in May. So who's next for Moxley? Is it MJF? Because MJF,
I was gonna say that.
MJF came out after he beat Cody that first week after Revolution. He said, you know, he doesn't care who he has to go through. He's coming for, the title that Moxley holds. And they were there. They were at AEW Dark. Wardlow wrestled some kiddie, like, fucking F-tend him out the fucking ring. So it's interesting, you know. We're going to have Lance, assuming we have Lance and Cody on that collision course, as much as I would love to see Darby and Lance be that finals. it seems like it might be Cody and Lance. Like, what do we do after that? Where do we go? You know, does Moxley beat MJF? Like, who's the next guy for Moxley?
Does Jericho come back for a title match? Or do we think it's too early for that? Because he's not going on tour with Fozzy anytime soon. It could be Jericho.
The story they've been telling is that he's been super focused on the Elite, so I don't know. But if they're taped up to Double or Nothing and they get all the way there, it's possible that they might take a break after that. They might have to.
Well, I mean, what's interesting, I think, for me is the way all this stuff is lining up is there is the possibility of kind of planting these little landmines for the Inner Circle, right? Because they just announced it tonight on the Power Rankings. This was actually one of the only things that I noticed, was that Chris Jericho fell a spot to be jumped over by Hager, right? So they made a big deal about mentioning, like, Le Champion falls to number two for Jake Hager. And now Sammy's going in, and maybe they're all going to back him, and, you know, all of a sudden he falls short, and it's like, well, you're not pulling your weight. Like, there's a lot of different ways they could kind of go with this and maybe put some tension in them, you know, to show that they're not as tight as they say they are. So I don't necessarily know. I agree. I think they have Jericho really kind of locked into Matt Hardy right now and the Elite. So I don't know. You know, that could also plant some seeds of dissension in the Inner Circle. Like, they're saying, hey, you're not focused on what we need to be focused on. You're focused on Matt Hardy. So I don't know if anybody in the Inner Circle maybe is next for Mox. I think it's probably MJF. But I don't know beyond that who they could really put. That's the only other person they've kind of lined up for a title kind of shot or a run at some point is MJF, because he came right out and said, I'm coming for it.
I mean, Sammy's an interesting possibility for that if he gets eliminated from this tournament, because it is someone else that's in the Inner Circle. And you could start to see the dissection of the Inner Circle, like you were saying. They've made a very big deal out of, they don't drink, they don't fight with each other, so it could start to create rumblings of that. Also, do we know what happened to Cobb? Where did Cobb go? I was so excited for Cobb.
He was just hired on an appearance basis, I thought, is what I read. So he's not under contract, but he can be hired per appearance. So I guess even though he's not under contract, he could be. They might have paid him for however many appearances, and he's still doing the same thing, I think, last I heard, with Ring of Honor. So Cobb could come back just as kind of like Jericho brought him in the first time as a hired gun. But I don't think he's in any long-term kind of feuds or anything at this point.
Okay, because I felt like they made a big deal of him being a part of the Inner Circle, and then he just hasn't been back.
They did. But I think, yeah. I don't think, you know, it's a completely strange situation for the world right now. I think a smart thing that they did was they taped till Double or Nothing, which was in May. So if you've been reading the sheets and you've been following other promotions, Impact had to cancel their pay-per-view Rebellion, which was happening next weekend, the 19th. They moved to Nashville, and they taped 2 months of TV, which I think included Rebellion 2, and they don't know if they're going to release that as a pay-per-view or as a special. So if they can, they've given themselves, let's say, 6 weeks right now, between now and whatever May 23rd is. It could be 8 weeks. I don't fucking know. I'm not a calendar master. But they've allotted themselves time to figure out, like, if we can go forward with Double or Nothing, where can it be held, and can we get over this barrier of, you know, there can only be 10 people in the room or whatever fucking state we're in May. It's interesting because I did not watch WrestleMania, but I know you, Kate, did, and Danny, you watched a little bit. And I heard they showed a promotion for Money in the Bank happening in May.
They're still showing it. They showed it. I saw it on Twitter or something, too.
And last I had read that they were trying to get by on a technicality that they are a media company, which is an essential service, so that they could continue to tape out of the Performance Center, was the last I read. So what they're going to try and do is essentially what AEW just did and just marathon at the Performance Center until that technicality also gets shut down in all likelihood. So everybody seems to be following suit in that regard.
Right. It's just because New Japan canceled all their shows up until May now, and then they are starting to, because the Japanese government put the country on a lockdown for a month. So now they're also starting to toy with the idea of doing empty arena shows, because they haven't run a show since the end of February, and we lost the New Japan Cup, and we lost Genesis, and we're losing a lot of other, you know, and you forget how great New Japan Pro Wrestling is. So it's just a weird time. Like Jeff Cobb's working on a per appearance at Ring of Honor, but they got their balls cut off right before the 18th anniversary show, so they're in limbo too, and they haven't done anything. Like, they're just showing like wrestling, like they spotlighted the Briscoe on one of the Briscoes on one of their shows. Jay Lethal was the week after. They're just doing like comp shows. MLW kind of went to the well this week, and they did their arena match with Mance and MJF, the empty arena match. But it'll be interesting to see where these companies go moving forward. So I think AEW set themselves up where they taped until May 23rd leading up to this pay-per-view, and now they have 7-8 weeks to figure out if we can hold this show, where can we hold it, who can be there, what we can do. And then I think they also have a contingency plan to that. Like, what if we can hold this pay-per-view? What do we do with these shows? It's an awful time, but it'll be something we all look back on and be like, that's really fucking interesting. The WWE did a great job with WrestleMania. AEW did a great job with their stuff. Like, with what you're given and the result, that's all that's really going to matter at the end of the day, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
That's like part of my nerddom right now. I'm like, this is so unprecedented in every sport that is. I mean, the other ones are just shut down right now. But like, what does that mean? Is like, I think it's a really interesting variable week to week to see not only how this has affected production, but like, you know, one week with AEW we had people at ringside, and then the next week we couldn't, so they were backstage. Like, I actually, because I'm a dork, find that so interesting, because it's just so unprecedented. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that before. That's a very interesting, it just adds to the like uniqueness of what a wrestling situation is, because it is athletic and it is also scripted. So like, to marry those is something that I find super interesting, because this impacts the one sport that's running outside of UFC right now, like in this very specific way.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Matt kind of said it, AEW has set themselves up in a pretty good spot. And I agree. I think they've set themselves up to get to Double or Nothing, but they have to have contingencies in place, because, you know, I think right now, like, everything in Vegas is shut down. Casinos are, back it up, Matt. I think casinos are all closed down, and I think right now there's no kind of date for when any of that stuff's going to open. So getting to May doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. I think that you have to have something in place for, like, okay, we get to May. If the MGM Grand's not open, but there is somewhere else that they can run this, they'll definitely look to move it. To be honest, I don't even know if we're safe with AEW coming back to Newark in what? Did they say September, July. August, July?
July.
Yeah.
July.
I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I'm personally now don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to get it pushed again. But what's interesting is last week we also spoke, because everything was still developing with the COVID. So there were rumors that WWE wasn't going to have anything and go on an indefinite hiatus after WrestleMania. I'm pretty sure this morning I saw something through one of the sheets that was talking about everything. And I think they said that the WWE was going to be filming from a secret location, and that they were going to be changing turnbuckles and mats between every match so that there was no kind of cross-contamination. And that kind of, I guess, fits in with what you were saying, Kate, is they're trying to get that special kind of like view as a media company and not like an entertainment company. So I guess that would make sense, but it's really weird to hear. It was really weird to read that they're going to film from a secret location. And that also kind of goes in with UFC. I don't know if you guys are following anything with UFC. Dana White's building a Fight Island.
Fight Island.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous game. It's the beginning of the plot of the most dangerous game.
I personally think it's like Mortal Kombat. You show up, you fight, you die, and that's it. Nobody ever comes back.
So if my one thing is that if they are doing, like, if they're doing a fight island, they should just lean into it and go full, like, original UFC, where you have, like, a kickboxer fighting, like, a sumo wrestler. Just forget weight classes. Right. Just bracket it out and have guys go at each other.
Well, if they're doing Fight Island, you know that it's going to be something that they have to have prepared to be there for, like, 6 months. I mean, we don't have to go down a whole COVID spiral, but I'm seeing things from, you know, booking managers and agents for musical acts that are saying they don't think tours are going to restart until 2021, maybe 2022. Like, yeah, restaurants.
I've heard best case scenario. I have a friend that works for Live Nation, and she's in New Zealand where this has not been that bad. But she said that I think the earliest they're looking at is November, and they have, like, not even had that many cases. It's just there's so much travel involved on the touring side. But the thing that AEW and ROH and all these other promotions have over WWE is WWE has 7 hours of content per week too. Like, that's a totally different ball game, I feel like, than producing 2 hours of solid content. So it's just a very weird, interesting time right now with this. Like, what are you gonna not have Roman Reigns on TV for 3 months? That, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so many. It's just a weird time for wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unprecedented. But the WWE is in a great position, though, too, because they have their library. And they put a bunch of stuff on FS1 the other night. And they are going to, from what I read, spotlight a lot of the older wrestlers because, you know, why make a new star? So they're going to, you know, but it's also people that you're familiar with, the Undertaker and the Stone Cold Steve Austins and the Rocks and the Charlotte Flairs, and they're going to spotlight them. So, I mean, they have the library where they could stay afloat. You know, I'm pretty sure we saw the same Jake Hager Moxley vignette tonight. I could be wrong, though, because
I think they were slightly different. Yeah. I think there were some slight differences between them.
It's just interesting. We'll have to see where it all goes. You just hope for the best. You know, I know a bunch of companies in Japan tried to run shows, and that lasted all of one day before Stardom got shut down again and Dragon Gate got shut down again. So, I don't know, man. It's getting, you know, we had to make fucking stupid picks for WrestleMania, and I was like, what's the fucking point? Because none of it matters. They can't tape anything going forward. You know?
Right.
Tony's going to get an asterisk next to his win because we picked fucking 4 pay-per-views this year.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is even just from a media, a whole media perspective around wrestling, right? It'll be interesting to see who starts to maybe lean into leveraging wrestling on network TV and stuff like that. So, like, we've seen it with the WWE, and I hate to keep bringing it up, but we've seen it with the WWE because I think they're connected to so many networks already. Like, ESPN and them have the deal, so they showed WrestleMania stuff. And Fox Sports 1 and them have the deal, so Fox Sports 1 is showing wrestling stuff. Like, would Fox Sports 1 be showing wrestling if they didn't have to? I don't know if they would. I'm going to be interested to see if some of the Turner networks don't start leveraging AEW content and putting it on their networks at some point, because you can only show fucking Batman Begins so many times until people just stop watching it.
Oh, go ahead, Ant.
No, I was going to say, it's going to be interesting to see where maybe some new partnerships, you know, emerge. And maybe there are going to be some networks for even some of the other brands, you know, like Sinclair has Ring of Honor, you know, but maybe other, you know, cable companies or other networks start reaching out and saying, hey, can we, you know, strike a deal and show some of your content just because we need something? Like, it might be interesting to see if some other places actually start to book deals because people are hungry for content that's different and that's new and nobody's seen. So,
yeah, it's remarkable that, case in point, that ESPN has that fucking thing about Jordan and the Bulls that was supposed to come out in, like, July, and they're releasing, next weekend, April 19th.
It's going to be, I can't wait for that. It looks great.
Their fucking ratings are going to go through the roof. You can only watch so many. Look, I love baseball. They had like the fucking Cal Ripken Jr. game on the other night. I was like, I don't give a shit, man.
Right.
It's that. It's every fuck. They do a mock draft every day. Like, I give a shit. Like, something's going to change in a day. That's why I brought the fucking Google Cast into to work. I'm like, I'd rather put fucking wrestling on and just watch shit that I never get to watch. And even if I don't get, like, my boss hasn't watched wrestling in like 30 years, but I put on Saturday Night's Main Event, and he was like, all about it. He was like, there's the Hulkster. There's the Bulldog. Like, it's Jake the Snake. The DBAs. Like, I can't watch any more ESPN. I can't. It's fucking nauseating. When I come home, I just watch murder shows and I play the show, so I'm good. And I started Ozark, which is a good show, so.
Oh, man.
Where are you in Ozark?
I just started season 2.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So I got a ways to go.
Season 2 is good, but season 3 is, oh boy.
Yeah, I got a ways to go. I kind of have to, because I have like a compulsive personality, an addictive personality, so when I want to do something, like I was set out this weekend to watch 7 WrestleManias, and you bet your ass I watched 7 WrestleManias this weekend. But when Monday came, I was like, I can't even think about wrestling. I need to fucking change gears right now. I need to watch some Murder or some Bob's Burgers. And then I started Ozark, and I was good. But then I was like, I need a break from this. I've been sitting on this fucking chair for 7 hours watching these. I just got to punch out for a little bit. So I kind of overdo it, but I got that balance.
My dog has been hiding from me because we've gone on so many walks and such long walks during this. That's what I've been doing, like, watching wrestling, and I'm still, I work from home anyway, so this isn't, like, as drastically different, but, like, just, you know, there's not a ton to do in music and sports right now, so for those clients, there's nothing happening, so my poor dog is just like, oh, no, we're not doing this again, are we?
I have re-beaten Halo 1 through 4, and I'm working on number 5 again, this time on Heroic for each one. So we're moving.
Well, Anthony has been gracious enough to give me many great musical suggestions, so I've been enjoying that. Kate, yours, not so great. I'm not going to lie to you.
I usually go a little weirder than straight up the middle metal. So
yeah,
I'll
like
some
of that shit you recommended that I listened to, something of the Summit or something.
Oh, Scale of the Summit?
That was Anthony. Scale of the Summit was Anthony.
That was me, but only because we were talking about specifically instrumental, like, prog acts.
I was not into that. And then there was another one you were, like, harping on that was just instrumental, Kate.
Animals as Leaders?
No, Animals as Leaders I was into.
No, they're
Cloud
awesome.
Kicker?
Who?
Cloud Kicker?
Yes. I was fucking listening. I was falling asleep in my chair listening to it. I had to turn it off.
And I'll scratch my brain for more straight up the middle metal stuff. I like all the like weird prog metal, math metal type stuff is like my jam. So
yeah, no, I had to
I'll give you some more math
stuff. I had to send Anthony a separate text message to be like, I need music to listen to and from work for the weekend, and I don't want to ask Kate because that Cloud Kicker was atrocious. I wish I could take a picture of your face.
I said on this text message, what kind of metal do you like? Because there are several subgenres. And you said, I listen to everything. I'm Matt. I love all metal. I'm all inclusive with my metal. Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, I will say this, Kate. I gave Matt 3 options, and they were all different. I tried to give him 3 different options, and 2 out of 3 were thumbs up. So I'll take 2 out of 3. That ain't bad.
Oh, and whoever threw out Polaris the other day, fucking thumbs up, Danny. I put that shit on in the backyard.
It's good, right?
My mother-in-law was like, what are you listening to out there? I was like, I was falling asleep on the hammock. That was beautiful stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
The new album is awesome. It came out like 3 weeks ago or something. It's great.
Yeah, Rain, that first song, Raincatcher, something like that. I'm looking it up.
They're
right
good.
Now.
Stuff that I would also give you.
Shut up,
Kate.
But you didn't, though.
You didn't, though. I beat you to it.
Make these suggestions off my nerdy prog metal instrumental bullshit, my friend.
Listen, you all have access to my music catalog. Go start using it. Expand your horizons.
That shit is overwhelming, my friend.
How am I going to be your henchman when you would talk to me like this.
How? I didn't ask you to be my henchman.
Degeneration Y. W for, like, why am I doing this?
Exactly, yeah. I guess that's why they said it. I don't fucking know. The bonds that are built on a car ride to Baltimore on a Sunday morning, you cannot...
Unfortunately, they're unbreakable.
Exactly.
Some hungover in the car ride.
Yeah, you were a trooper, though. You fucking... You hung in there, and you came alive.
I did. Took a minute, but we lived. We made it.
Did they announce what AEW TNT Championship match is next week?
Sammy Darby.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
That's going to be a barn burner.
And next week is the empty arena match.
And who do we like? Darby? We all like Darby? Or is anyone leaning towards Sammy?
I'm going Darby. I really think they're going to heat back up Darby and Cody.
I'm going Darby too, even though I initially went with Sammy, because I think they're going to want... I think Darby with that title not being a part of a faction makes sense right now.
Yeah, you like Darby Ant Money?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I said it. Yeah, I like Darby. He's actually my pick to... He's my pick to win it. So I'll take Darby in this.
I like it. I like it. I also like Darby. I like Darby to move on to face Cody in the second round to see what kind of shenanigans we can get up to in the AEW TNT Championship tournament.
I'm excited. It plays, you know, anything they're trying to do. Anything they're trying to do that. I think everything just froze and I just cut somebody off. But I like the way this tournament's ready to play out. Go ahead.
Is there anything wrestling related that you guys would like to talk to? We'll open the floor for a little open wrestling conversation, whatever you like to talk about. You want to talk about WrestleMania? You want to talk about SummerSlam 2010? You want to talk about, I don't know, whatever weird shit you're into down there? I wonder if you guys do you guys see me the same way I see you? Like, you got Cade has got the big picture on the left of my screen, and then Danny's up top, and then Anthony's below. But Anthony was the big picture before, and Cade was up there, and Danny was up there, but then Anthony dropped out, and Cade went big, and it's a lot. It's a lot. I wanted to start pointing, like, when you guys would be ready to talk, but then I realized it doesn't make sense, stupid.
Sure doesn't.
There's a chat for that if you want to. We want to use it next time.
Look, dude, I could. Last week I didn't record live. This week I recorded live but missed the first 15 minutes of the show. I'm a fucking disaster, okay?
I was going to say, before we go introducing chat, let's make sure that, you know, Matt has his microphone on and that we're hitting the record first.
Wow.
Well, as far as wrestling-related stuff, for anyone in the North Jersey or, like, New Jersey, New York area, the New Japan show... The Wrestling Dynasty show that's supposed to take place, I think it's actually SummerSlam weekend at Madison Square Garden.
22nd? 21st?
One of those, whatever that Saturday is. The pre-sale date was supposed to be today. It got moved back to May 13th. It's a Wednesday. Who knows if the show will still happen. I'm really hoping it does. So just be on the lookout for more information for that, if you're planning on going to the Wrestling Dynasty show. And if you didn't watch WrestleMania, the one thing I suggest you watch if you're a wrestling fan is the Funhouse match, because there's so much inside, like big wrestling fan stuff in there and internet stuff in there that it was really, really great.
Killed your brother.
I have a question for the floor that is more of a wrestling theme than anything specific. And Matt is like rolling his eyes at me for saying that, and I love it. No, I was actually thinking about this the other day. How long until we get into wrestling sports gambling? That's got to be coming, right?
You can gamble on wrestling. They put out odds.
I got a notification from FanDuel. I could bet on WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting. Okay, because I was like, thing. I haven't seen it with the major sports books, I don't think, but I'm like, if anything should be gambled on, it's the things with scripted outcomes.
you can bet on, I don't know if it's every pay-per-view, but, like, I know the Royal Rumble you can, and WrestleMania you can, and probably Money in the Bank.
Now more than ever, they should be having betting on wrestling because it's the only thing happening. But that should be like a fantasy, like a every week kind of thing. That's just money that's just sitting out there. So
I believe too, though, you can only bet a certain amount. Like, your bets are capped.
Interesting. All right. Interesting.
I would just want to bet on the props. Like, how many chair shots? How many table spots? How long will the national anthem be? Trick question. There is no national anthem.
There is, like, actually a huge movement toward those types of bets, I think, because the ladies like to bet on those things. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that in general.
I think we talked about it before I started recording, but we'll circle back and finish on this. Dark Side of the Ring. Brawl for All. What did you guys think?
Well, I was saying before, so sorry if this is redundant for those of you listening live. This was particularly fun for me because I started watching wrestling so much later. So I didn't really know anything about Brawl for All because everybody said it was garbage. So why would I bother to go back and watch it? So I actually learned a lot. How do you not feel bad for Gunn after that? And I think they raised the point that this might be the weirdest or the worst idea in professional wrestling that ever happened. And I think they might have proved themselves right on that. It sounded really bad.
Yeah, but look, I agree it was a terrible idea, but all these people were like, look, Dr. Death was not fucking Dr. Death in 1998 when he got to the WWF. He could not do a fucking program with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm sure people are going to get fucking super heated about it because I'm saying this, but he was not the Dr. Death that was in fucking All Japan. He was not that guy. When he went to WCW in fucking 99 and he did that goofy shit with Oklahoma, he was bad. He was fucking bad. So no matter what you did with him, if he won the fucking thing and you put him in a program, you had to put him with somebody who could cut a promo. Well, they wouldn't put him with fucking JR because JR was a commentator, so they'd probably put him with Vince. And then I just think there was a clash of styles. Dr. Death was this fucking hard-hitting, strong style before it was a fucking thing against Stone Cold, who completely reinvented himself after he got his neck broken. I just don't think that would have worked. JBL, the whole fucking... I hate Vince Russo. I hate Vince Russo so much. I hate him more than fucking Jim Cornette. I know some of you guys don't like Jim Cornette. I hate Vince Russo. He's like, this is just an idea because JBL was a big mouth. Like, this is the fucking dumbest thing you've ever thought of. And they put him in the ring with PCO. I forgot PCO was even in the fucking thing. Poor guy's got one eye. Crazy!
Yeah. I mean, first of all...
Kate froze, so we lost Kate. She's frozen in time.
She's gone.
I love how it froze on first of all. I liked the Dark Side of the Ring, and I remember it. Like, you know, I remember seeing it and watching it, and I don't know, Danny, we might have been at a Raw where they did
it. We were at one when Dad took us.
Yeah, so we were
we
at
definitely
one.
Definitely were.
But I thought it was funny how I was talking to one of my buddies about it. I said, you know, Russo, it's funny, Russo says JBL is the catalyst for the whole thing because he's so mean and a bully. And it was just like, dude, you're saying the kind of like cool thing to say right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're saying what everybody else is currently saying and that people have known for forever. I felt like he was just saying it to, like, you know, sound like everybody else, you know, these days. Like, JBL's such a bully, he deserves to get his ass kicked. Like, okay, Vince Russo, I doubt that.
I did love that Cornette. Sorry, by the way, I was recording from my phone and my phone died. I love that Cornette was like, you invented this tournament over because a guy in the locker room said he was the toughest guy there. Ooh. Like, that was such a good point. Like, everybody was saying that. But yeah, the whole JR summed it up the best, I thought, when he said this tournament that was like essentially risking people's careers and shortening them it made zero stars at the end of the day. Like, what was the point of it then? Is to me, like, was kind of the net of the whole thing, was like, it made stars out of zero people. So
I'm a little upset that they didn't go into the fact that Butterbean went to Vince, and story goes that he was like, I'll work with you if you want. And Vince was like, no, just let him go out and do it. And I think he said it in the thing. He's like, I told him I was going to knock him out in like the first round. He was like, go ahead.
Yeah.
But Butterbean was like, he was in on it. He would have worked it. He would have worked the whole thing, and it could have been a lot better than what it was. I think I texted you guys too last night. I had to look up Bart Gunn after he left the WWF. He had quite the successful career in All Japan and New Japan as a tag team with Johnny Ace. And I don't know if there's any WCW fans in here, but him and Jungle Jim Steele were a very successful tag team. And Mike Barton, he even got to the finals of the All Japan Carnival Cup, and he lost to Muda in like 2002 or so. Very interesting shit.
So after looking it up, Anthony, we were at Raw July 13th, 1998. And we saw Bart Gunn defeat Bob Holly and Dan Severn beat the Godfather.
Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing to see how, like, it's classic Vince and nothing is fucking changed. You have an idea and then you monkey with it. And, you know, you have to fuck everything up. Like, just set it up and let it be. It was just like his first go around with the XFL. Like, he's like, it's going to be like this. And then it changed immediately, like, because it wasn't working. Like, just fucking let it be or kill it altogether. Like, the dude's never going to change. That's clear after watching that show. I mean, we've kind of all known it. I think most people know. But even back then, the dude has to fuck with something after they do it. And his mindset is still like, well, we write the rules, so we can do whatever we want, whatever we want. Like, come on, man.
Oh, you're in for a treat next week then with the Jimmy Snuka story. You want to talk about fucking with shit? Okay, brother.
How does that end?
Killer, brother.
At least at that point, though, the one thing that I give credit to was they seemed desperate to be doing something new. So I get it from, like, I think. Now he tinkers because he's an idiot. We're there. He was tinkering because he was trying to save something a little bit more because WCW was coming in hot. So it at least made sense that he was trying to meddle because he was trying to create something. But yeah, it just seemed to me, the most stupid part about it was just like, it wasn't trained fighting. So it was just bad for what it was anyway. Like, it's not like, oh, and there, it turns out they were awesome fighters as well. Like, no, I failed to see what the entertainment value was in it. And that's probably why when I went back to do my WWE history and learn, everybody was like, yeah, you don't have to deal with this shit. It was terrible.
But you do.
I do. So I should go back and watch Brawl for All?
If you're going to cover the history of pro wrestling, you have to get Brawl for All, you have to get Judy Bagwell on a pole, you have to get that weird thing with Vampiro and Sting towards like the end of WCW where there was like a guy on fire and he fell from the top of the rafters. You got to take all that shit and take it all. Vince Russo, WCW champion, David Arquette, WCW champion, Vince McMahon is the higher power, Bobby Lashley, Vince McMahon, ECW champion, Durag, Vince McMahon, like, you got to get it all. You got to get it all. Raven crucifying the Sandman in ECW.
If you start watching in 09, that's pretty low on the list of things I should go back and watch. Yeah, like, wrestling game should come before that, you know? So
yeah, I would start with, like, the Rock and Wrestling era and just work your way up, and then you can, you know, like, the funniest sign I've ever seen on a wrestling show, and this will be covered in Dark Side of the Ring 2 at some point. Hey, Dino got a smoke. Because Dino Bravo, the Canadian wrestler, was accused of being involved with the mob and selling cigarettes illegally. And then he fucked up, and that's how he got killed. So yeah. you'll learn that in Dark Side of the Ring because they have an episode about Dino Bravo, too. So you have to learn all the little nuances from the Rock and Wrestling era all the way up. The Jim Duggan, Nikolai Volkov, or the Jim Duggan, Iron Sheik story.
That I know.
Men on a Mission.
Men on a Mission. You got to know about King Mabel and Mo and Oscar.
And how about how Mabel was the third man?
Oscar was the guy that rapped at the beginning of their entrances. Danny?
I can promise you, I've never seen their entrance besides the Royal Rumble. Not
Learn
once.
History.
You got to know. You got to know about Battle Cat.
About who?
This is now my favorite part of the episode.
You have no idea how many tag teams in the Shining Wizards Cup that I read the names of, and I'm just like, no idea. Nope.
Really?
Yes.
That is heartbreaking.
I'm fucking millennials.
Who was Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
You're a millennial too, brother.
Who?
I'm that weird in between.
You're not. You're technically in the range, so sorry.
I'm right in between.
Wait, can we do predictions for the Shining Wizards Cup? Because I think the Hardys are taking it all the way.
Fuck out of here with the Hardys.
Oh,
I didn't say good. I said I think that's who is taking it.
Who's left? I got it right here. The Dudley Boys are left. Is this on my going to pee sheet? Let me see here.
Is the Men on a Mission still in there?
Men on a Mission was never in there.
I know.
They should have been, though.
See, they're not even in the Shining Wizards Cup, so it's not, they're not, like, super important, I know that.
They never won gold.
But Mabel was supposed to be the third man.
Right. He was also a king, so I think that should be accounted for, right?
He did get gold.
And he was a guest on the Shining Wizards second anniversary show. Just in case you didn't know that. All right, here's who's left in the Shining Wizards Cup. The Dudley Boys take on Edge and Christian. That's from the High Voltage region. And don't tell me you don't know who fucking High Voltage is.
I don't.
You motherfucker.
Who are they? Do I know them and not know it's them?
No. They're a WCW job team. Brush up on your shitty tag teams from the late 90s. Rage and Chaos, all right? That was their fucking dumb names. They sucked.
What awful names.
In the Mulkeys region, the Road Warriors take on the Brainbusters. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard. Do you know who they are, Danny?
Yes.
Okay, good.
They're both managers in AEW.
You son of a bitch. In the Conquistador regions, the Steiner brothers take on Harlem Heat. And then the Techno Team 2000 region, the Hardy Boys take on Hanson and Brody. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The Facebook voting towards the Hanson and Brody has been through the fucking roof. So I think Hanson and Brody are going all the way to the finals for this. I think they're going to win this fucking thing.
I have no idea who Techno Team 2000 are.
Hang up.
It's Eric. It was Eric Watts and somebody else in WWF in about 95, 96. You can find them.
I was watching them. So they're not memorable at all.
It's somebody else. I'm said look, with so much confidence.
I'm gonna look up because I don't know who the other guy was.
It was really at the height of techno music in '96, and we were getting into Y2K.
Oh, I'm sorry. From '95 to '96, it was Travis and Troy.
Raving.
Travis and Troy. That was them. It was Eric Watts and Troy. Or Travis. They made their debut in our backyard against the Heavenly Bodies at Madison Square Garden.
Who?
The Heavenly Bodies?
Who?
Kidding, I'm joking.
Who was Jim the Anvil Neidhart with just a mask on and it had a question mark in the middle? And if you want to go back and find some Techno Team 2000s, In Your House 2, they were Lumberjacks for the Sid Diesel match.
So hold on. So you want me to look them up in a match where they're not even in the match?
They were Lumberjacks. Technically, they're in the match.
Yeah, they're part of it. Look, your job is to find us the best Men on a Mission in Techno Team 2000 match you could find. And if they wrestled each other, that's like you win the universe.
That's what I was gonna say.
I would come in my pants if they wrestled each other.
Hold on, I'm Googling.
First time,
Wait, who does everybody think is going to win? I think the Hardys, because they keep winning in a landslide on your voting. Who do you think? Mr. Thumbs Down?
I think Hanson and Brody win this fucking thing.
The whole thing.
It's going to, I think in the finals, it's going to be Hanson and Brody against the Road Warriors.
The Dudley Boys.
Ooh. Fucking Dudley Boys are overrated.
From an ECW mark.
I guess there are no men on a mission.
We're closing in on midnight, and Matt is fired up right now. Red in the face for the people at home.
Like fucking Sean Spears in the figure four.
I meant to mention before, actually, in that same, when Cody hit the barricade, he started doing that with his fingers, too. I don't know if there was, like, they were both trying to sell that idea. But I think Cody was doing it at the same time. Or, like, not at the same time, obviously, but in the same match.
Well, all I know is that that was just, I still, that finish was odd. It was, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. It was just weird.
Wait, what is your prediction?
On what? The cup?
On the Women's Cup.
Oh, I think it's going to be Brody and oh God, it's so late.
Are a henchman. You're just going right along with what Matt says.
No, Matt is right. Every time you lay a vote in on anything on Facebook that Brody and Hanson are in, it's just a landslide. It's crazy. And I saw people even commenting, like, they weren't even a tag, you know, that long compared to some of these other guys. I don't think anybody cares. I think they're going to win.
Fair enough.
Danny said the Dudleys, right?
Yes.
All right. We got our Shining Wizards Cup picks. We talked about AEW. We talked about all things wrestling. It is fast approaching midnight. I think it's time we pull this train into the station so I can process and put this up. Before we sign off, anything you guys want to leave the fans with? There are fans. I'm not going to lie. Listens are down because a lot of people aren't going to work. They're not getting out.
God,
there.
We suck. We're the worst.
No. Across the board on every podcast platform, not just this one. I think all podcasts, because people usually look. Anthony has a child, right? You can't put this on when you're home with your kid running around. You don't need your kid learning our fucking potty mouth. As Tony's talking about how good Lacey Evans' fucking caboose looks. You don't want your kids exposed to that. You listen to that in the car when you're by yourself on your way home from work. You're unwinding.
That's right.
You need to hit the record button for an episode to be uploaded.
I guess I deserve that.
Wow.
That's sad.
Wow. Heal.
Integral part of the process is all I'm saying.
Tough crowd. Sorry, that started way too early. Turn that down. We'll go with this. Go ahead, keep talking. You put your plugs in.
Go ahead, Kate. You got a plug?
Oh, yeah, just stay in your house and don't be an idiot. On Deck IC on the Twitter machine, On Deck IC on Instagram. Also follow my dog, Buster Hensler, if you need dog pics during this trying time. So there you go.
Did you say dog pics or dick pics?
A little bit of both. His Red Rocket might be in a few of them. I don't know. But, but I said dog pics.
How do you guys follow that up?
I can't. I don't have anything I'm plugging. I'm with Kate. Stay home. Do your part. It's not just about you. It's about everybody else. So find some things to do in your home. Get comfortable. We're all in this together. All that fun shit. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ant Money. I'm on Instagram at AntMoney247. Yeah, that's it.
Danny Russ 973 on both Twitter and Instagram. And if you're hungry this Saturday night, give a call to Pizza Vita in Summit, New Jersey, 908-277-1400. And if you order the Saturday night main event, when Matt takes your order, he will commentate it back to you as Vince McMahon.
Well, I got bad news for you, Danny. We are no longer taking orders over the phone. Everything has to be done online. But if you put it in the comments that you want me to greet you as Vince McMahon, I will. I'll put on my face mask. I'll come to the door. pal, picking up your order, huh? All right. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. I won't be there on Sunday because I'm off for Easter, but we're not going
to
do it.
It's a sensitive time to tell people that they're fired, though, so maybe just skip that part of the man.
We'll see.
Run.
We'll see how I'm feeling that day.
It's true.
You heard it from Matt. Call, order some pizza, support the business, and he will.
He just said don't
Vince
call.
McMahon for you.
Please don't
or, I'm
call.
Sorry. When you pick it, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You didn't record 15 minutes of the show, so you're good. If you're
your
gonna
phone's in the middle of it, so
write in the comments.
If you're going to order, you have to order online at pizzavitanj.com and put in the comments you want me to give you your order as Vince McMahon, and I will do that. I am, of course, one third of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, ShiningWizards.com, every Monday night on RantEmRadio.com. Pro Wrestling Tees is doing a spring sale starting Thursday, 20% off everything. So if you want your Shining Wizards gear, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. If you like what we're doing, Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. We're putting out extra content, or at least we're trying. And then Twitter and Facebook at Wizards Podcast. Just throw it in the search bar. You'll find us. Anthony, you look like you wanted to say something.
No.
All right.
Not enough.
We will be back next Wednesday with another episode of the AEW Dynamite post show with Kate the Great, Danny Rusinello, Anthony Rusinello, the Generation Y, my henchman. W's up.
It's not the Woo Wings, it's the D-Generation Y.
Those are W's, though.
The Woo Flu.
Well,
Y meaning the wordplay.
Woo Wings? Matt, the Woo Wings?
Yeah, the Woo Wings. Woo Wings, everybody.
Woo!
Woo Wings! Holla! All right, we'll see you all next week, guys. Thanks for listening. I gotta turn this off now. Fucking A. Hold on. I'll let the music play. How do you guys, what? Judas, or the Cody
yes.
song?
No, Judas.
Cody.
Oh, God, I'm the tiebreaker?
Oh, God.
Judas.
All right, I thought you were going to say something like
that. I'm turning on everybody. I'm going rogue.
Really? All right, we'll see you guys next week.